sports, politics, life. The Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online reservations at BluemontHotel.com.
Stan Weber returns to KKHI in just a few minutes. It is presented today by MyPillow.com, where Mike Lindell is having a $25 extravaganza right now with free shipping. Many, many, many items, just $25. MyPillow.com. Use your promo code KKHI. The draft is here Thursday night at 7 o'clock. It begins round one on Thursday night at the Hart Plaza in Detroit. The Chiefs will pick dead last, so it's going to be late into the evening before the Chiefs are on the clock, unless they make a trade up. And, of course, there's a chance they trade out and pick nobody on Thursday night. But it's the best position you want to be in the NFL draft, picking dead last. And that is indeed where the Chiefs are. Stan will break it all down for us in just a little bit, including one college team that he says, watch out for their draft picks. It's not Georgia. It's not Alabama. It's not a school you might think. He says one school, watch for the Chiefs to draft from there or other teams to draft from there, that they're loaded with talent in this draft, and we'll go over all that. We'll talk about the Missouri, Kansas State, and Kansas players that are eligible in this draft and where they may go, and we'll talk about the Chiefs' strategy of what they might be trying to do within this draft and what has happened this offseason with signings, departures, Rashee Rice in trouble, and how Stan sees the draft breaking out. Then on Friday, it's rounds 2 and 3. That begins at 6 o'clock. On Saturday, it's rounds 4 through 7, and that begins at 11 a.m. Of course, it's on a million different television channels. If you want to watch the draft, it is all over the place. Stan Weber will be with us in a bit, and that is always fun to have Stan on board talking football in the offseason. There was a ton of football on Monday in the offseason as Andy Reid is made the highest-paid coach in the National Football League, which he has earned. He has a contract extension through 2029 to be the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, as he will try to win a fourth Super Bowl as Chiefs head coach. Brett Veach, the general manager, is also extended through the end of the decade, as is team president Mark Donovan. So the entire management crew at Arrowhead in place for at least 6 more years and maybe longer. And some of them, it's a little hard to tell with Mark Donovan, because a lot of folks still believe that if the commissioner position becomes available in the NFL, Mark Donovan could be one that they look to possibly be the next commissioner of the NFL. So that's pretty interesting. Brett Veach, I think, is probably going to be here a long, long time in Kansas City, maybe past Andy Reid. And I think it would be quite remarkable if Andy Reid stays all the way through 2029. I just think that would be remarkable for him to coach that long. I won't say he can't do it, but I think I'll be a little bit surprised if he fills out this contract. That would be 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. 6 more years, and I'm not so sure. We'll see. If he does, that takes Patrick Mahomes to what, age 34? And we'll leave one more coach about five good years of Patrick Mahomes to come in and try to do something with Patrick Mahomes here in Kansas City. It's very interesting. What we don't want to have happen is we don't want to get to a position where there's complacency, where the work isn't really being put in and work isn't really being done. I'm not saying these folks are like that. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I've seen it happen before in sports. We've seen teams kind of fall apart after they've had great success because it just becomes so filled with money, so rich, so much excess. You're not, you know, clamoring for that prize like you once were, trying to grab that ring, get that trophy. You want this organization to stay hungry. I think players stay hungry because on game day, when the ball's live, it really gets going, and there's no not playing your best or trying your best when you're playing. Coaching's a different thing. Coaching's so much about preparation, the hours you put in, the sleepless nights, all of those things. We've seen a lot of coaches just not be able to sustain that. So Andy Reid is signed. He has earned every nickel of this. We will monitor it. The first sign will be this. Andy's not missed the playoffs since he's been here. The first sign would be if somewhere in this contract the Chiefs miss the playoffs and it doesn't involve Patrick Mahomes being injured for a long period of time in the regular season, that will be a sign. And it may be a sign to Andy Reid. He may tell you the exact same thing, that, yeah, 2027 rolls around and we go out there and stink it up and go 8-9 and Mahomes played the whole year, you could see Andy Reid walk away and retire and say, that's it. I don't have this anymore. It's changing. Somebody younger needs to take it over, whatever. I could see that. That will be the telltale sign. If the Chiefs are not in the playoffs at any point with these people running it, that's a sign they've gotten fat and happy. So we'll be on the lookout for that. It's never a fun thing to talk about. Fans don't want to hear that. Not suggesting it's going to happen this year. I think they're driven by this three-peat, by some real history. And Clark Hunt did the right things. And, you know, we have fewer and fewer people say Clark Hunt is cheap. There were some people saying he was going to be cheap with his stadium renovation, and he was. But there was no real reason to renovate his stadium. There's nothing really that Arrowhead needs to dramatically change it. If you're going to dramatically change it, you need a new stadium. And I think Clark Hunt knows that. I think the Chiefs know that. And I think when the time comes for the Chiefs to do something really meaningful, Clark Hunt will be in a big way. Remember, he was in three, four times as much as the Royals, more than that, five or six times as much as the Royals last time Clark Hunt put in, as opposed to the Glass family and the Royals. He was all in. The stadium renovation at Arrowhead is much nicer than the one at Kauffman Stadium, always was. And that's because of the money he put in. He is not cheap. They have billions. They've been winning. The Chiefs are, I'm going to just tell you right now, the Chiefs are not going to do anything stadium-wise that is not absolutely, completely, and totally first class. So you can scratch that off the board. That isn't going to happen. And they're paying money. They're paying their quarterback. They're paying all the people in charge. They're paying it all. Clark Hunt is not cheap, and Andy Reid just found out. He's the highest paid coach in the league. They're not reporting the numbers, but this is double digits. You would think maybe this is somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 million a year. Be the head coach of the Chiefs, getting close to $1 million a game. Pretty cool stuff. Some other headlines. Mayor Q in Kansas City is walking back his ridiculous comments to the mayors of New York, Chicago, and Denver that he will gladly take their illegal aliens and house them here in Kansas City. He's got $1 million tucked away where he'd like to help them get started to become migrant workers. He is now saying, no, we only want those that are lawfully here. Well, those don't really exist. There's very few that are allowed to come through, do the paperwork, and everything's on the up and up and kosher. And the reason we know Mayor Q is now lying, and this is disingenuous, is the folks that have no place to live in New York, Chicago, and Denver and are packed into overcrowded facilities, and New York, Chicago, and Denver are saying, we don't have money for you, we don't have room for you, you got to go. Those aren't the legal people. Anybody knows this. These are newcomers. Unprocessed. Undocumented. How many times have they used those words? It's simple. They're illegal aliens. They broke the law getting here. They hitched a ride to a place they thought would be cool, New York, where there is no place for them to live, nothing for them to do. And now New York doesn't know what to do, and Chicago doesn't know what to do, and Denver doesn't know what to do. And so Mayor Lucas says, I'll take them. We'll take them here in Kansas City. We have a worker shortage. Well, you have a worker shortage because illegal aliens are driving wages down. We don't have the proper wage growth that we need. We have a stale economy. We have a shrinking housing market. It's bad. We have high interest rates. It's not good out there. It's not good out there for people with money. People with money are starting to go, wait a second. What the hell? I don't know what my future is. I don't know what's going to happen here. Everything that they worked for or planned for or thought they knew to be true about the American economy and their family or their kids' college or their mortgage and housing or their retirement or whatever it may be, everything people have thought is true, everybody's stepping back going, whoa, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure I know where this is going. And so what? So Mayor Q wants to bring in more illegals to bring more crime into Kansas City, Missouri, and lower wages even more because they'll work for less? I mean, none of it makes any sense. None of anything that Democrats want to do makes any sense. And he is being, at best, disingenuous by saying, I'm talking about the ones who are lawfully present here in the country. No, you're not. You were talking about New York's overcrowding problem. Those are Venezuelans, for the most part. A lot of them are gang members. The Venezuelan prisons are empty. Many of them went to New York. They have fled to other places because there is nothing for them in New York. And you inviting them here is insane. You've lost your mind, Mayor Q. And we don't believe you when you say you're walking this back. And by the way, you're hurting yourself and your own party's politics. Mayor Q's goal is always to raise himself higher and higher within the Democrat machine. And walking this back and saying you only want the legal ones is going to hurt you and your party. It may help you here in Kansas City, and it is the right thing to do. You're saying the right thing if you mean it, which you don't. But you would literally be, if you enacted it that way, if you followed the law, you know, Mayor Q's got a policy here that's law-breaking. And if he doesn't do it now, if he walks the whole thing back and doesn't do this, man, he's going to get crushed within his own party. You're expected to break the law in the Democrat Party. If you're in charge, you're expected to just ignore these laws that have been on the books in this country and in our states for generations. You're expected to ignore them and do the right thing. I don't know where he is now. He's stuck in the middle. He's going to have Democrats mad at him for walking it back. Let's see what he actually does. Because what he says and what he does are two completely different things. We know that about politicians in general, but mostly politicians on the left. A new report is out that the stadium vote was rushed on April 2nd by the Royals because Governor Parson had it passed. It was believed by the Royals in Missouri was going to put in hundreds of millions of dollars more to keep the Royals and Chiefs, what they'll say, keep the Royals and Chiefs, where they are, the Royals moving downtown and the Chiefs staying where they were, that Governor Parson was going to open up the checkbook on his way out the door as governor and say, here you go, and he'll just walk away and nobody will ever remember the price, and he'll say, I kept the teams. But the front runners in the GOP to replace Parson are anti-sports team, basically, anti-spending money on sports teams. So that's why this thing was rushed, and it's another sign that it will be more problematic for the Chiefs and the Royals to stay in the state of Missouri when the governor of Kansas is a Democrat willing to go bonkers over this. She just passed a bill. This is really trivial and silly, but the Democrat governor in Kansas just passed legislation that we will do Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals, Sporting Kansas City, and Kansas City Current license plates in Kansas, which I think Kansans will buy and use and appreciate and whatever. These are Missouri sports teams. No, sporting is not, but they're Missouri sports teams. I'm okay with it. I'm not blasting her for doing this. I'm okay with that. People have an option. Get the plate or don't get the plate. I get it. It generates a little bit of revenue for the state. They cost more than your regular license plate. I'm fine with it. I just think that every little thing she's doing right now is what Democrats do. It is signaling. They love to signal. It is signaling, we are here for you. She says, oh, I'm not actively pursuing the Chiefs to move to Kansas. Really? There's already been meetings from GOP leaders. And you know she wants them. All the gambling money goes for a sports team. Now we're doing license plates for the sports teams. Kansas is open for business for the Chiefs. There's no question about that. It is open for business. So this is getting wild. And the reason this thing was rushed and is sloppy, first of all, it wasn't really rushed. So I'm going to push back on this report and say it wasn't really rushed. In the end, it was rushed because the idiot Royals had narrowed it to two sites, East Village, which is a parking lot downtown, and North Kansas City. Then at the last minute, they eliminated both of those and said, we're going to the crossroads where the Kansas City Star Building was. That was why it was rushed, because the Royals were fools in all of this. They worked on it for 3 years. There was 3 years of work on a stadium vote before the actual vote. So the vote itself wasn't rushed. It was the Royals and Chiefs plans in the end that were rushed because they really don't know what they want to do. It's time to take a deep breath, step back, consider the possibilities that nothing will be at the Truman Sports Complex, that it will be land available. It could be anything. That's not the end of the world either, folks. That doesn't mean they're leaving even Jackson County. It could be a lot of different things happen here. A lot of different things. But a lot of it had to do, apparently, with GOP politics and the new the gubernatorial candidates for the GOP, which we're assuming will win and become governor, not wanting to fund these teams at the state level. And if you missed it overnight in New York, pro-Hamas demonstrators turned violent against the cops. They threw everything at them. They had stuff set on fire. There were all kinds of arrests made. I don't know how anybody could have predicted this. While these colleges are saying, no, let's let these, Hamas is a terrorist group. Let's let these pro-Hamas people gather. And some of them look like they're of Middle Eastern descent. And some of them are just Swifties. They're just white girls in college. They're just white girls that really don't know who to demonstrate for or what to demonstrate for. Like, you're as likely to see maybe a liberal white chick at a fancy school demonstrating for Hamas or pro-Israel, I guess. I think you could see both. Although it seems to be slanting toward pro-Hamas because, my opinion, I'm a novice on this subject, but I don't think there's any reason to look too deeply into why the protesters on the left are demonstrating with Hamas. I think it's because they see Israel. I think it's moved on. For these young people doing this, it's not about religion. It's not. They see Israel as conservative. They see Bibi Netanyahu as Donald Trump. They see the entire state of Israel as, well, that's what would happen if the GOP took over America. They'd have all these beautiful policies in place to try to keep themselves safe. Profiling's legal at the airports in Israel. They'll pull you aside. There's a lot of things they do that we don't do. I think it's about politics more than religion at this point. There's religion baked in. Those are the hardened pro-Palestinian people with family members. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about suburban white girls from Bolingbrook, Illinois, that go to Columbia University because their daddy's a legacy and they don't know who to march with. And they're like, well, these poor Hamas people are getting slaughtered right now. And nobody told them that these Hamas freaks went paratrooping in and slaughtered a bunch of girls just like her at a music concert because they were in Israel. And they weren't all Israelis. It didn't matter. They were in Israel. Nobody's explained that to these girls. So it's crazy. This is craziness going on. We shouldn't be allowing it. Honestly, we should be just cracking down on the pro-Hamas demonstrations. I know you can't arrest them just for doing it, but there's all kinds of technicalities you can get them on. If they don't have a permit to demonstrate, anybody that blocks a street is going to jail and make their life hell. So they tell everybody, boy, they treated me poorly. I stayed in a lot longer than I thought. Those would all be really good things. Stan Weber coming right up to talk NFL draft. We want to thank a couple of our sponsors, including bstock.net. Graduation season is here, and they are loaded with MacBooks and iPads. Unbelievable graduation presents, especially high school graduation. Send your kid off to college with a brand new MacBook Pro or an iPad. Much, much, much less expensive at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Then Best Buy, Nebraska Furniture Mart, Costco, any of those places. This is the lowest price anywhere in Kansas City or online anywhere. Bstock.net. Amazing Garage Floors is online at amazinggaragefloors.net. John and Heather would love to take your call at 913-901-7139. I've been mentioning the last couple of weeks, I hear from so many of you that say, I've been wanting to do it. Now is the time. Do the garage floor. This is the one thing with your house, guys, that you will never, ever regret. You will not have a moment where you go, I can't believe I did that. I shouldn't have done that. I should have bought a new refrigerator, or the sofa needs to be replaced or whatever. No, your garage floor. You're going to love it. Grab yourself a paint roller, paint your garage, and then have Amazing Garage Floors come in and do the floor. You're just going to be blown away at how cool it is. You're going to love it. Get off the duff. Get off the schneid. Let's go. Amazing Garage Floors. .net. And Amini's Galleria is having its outdoor furniture tent sale and first come, first serve brand new floor model scratch and dent sale. 72 months, no interest financing. Everything on the showroom must go. All the new items are coming in, and that's not just patio furniture. That's pool tables, shuffleboard, pinball machines, video games, saunas, you name it, it's all right there. Bar stools, indoor furniture, leather theater seating, and outdoor. Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Stan is the man, and he is back. Stan Weber is going to join us right now on KKHI to talk about that NFL draft coming up on Thursday night. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
Oh, it sounds like football season. We got Stan Weber back on KKHI. It is draft week. Not quite the excitement of a year ago, Stan, but everybody loves the NFL draft. How are you, sir?
Yes, Kevin. It's good to talk to you again. Another reason to talk about the NFL, who keeps their headlines right there at the top of everyone's list, it seems like. But draft is a whole other step, right? What are the players going to do? who's going to be a part of your team and your rivals' teams. You know, you're not only watching yourself when you're trying to be an NFL fan, you're also watching what others around you are doing. It's coaching change, obviously the draft, free agency, all those things are right before us. Last year is off the charts because it was also a Kansas City event. So you had the metropolitan area just flying the colors, and everyone, even if you didn't like sports, were saying, hey, the draft is coming to town. A little different this time. It's back to business. Detroit gets to wave their flag this time, but for us, it's back to the football. And hey, I get very excited about these things. There's two sides to this, obviously. One is the college players. You might be a fan favorite of someone around the country watching them, or the local teams here that we talk about a lot. Which players are going to go to the NFL draft? Which ones are going to be free agents? All of those things. And then obviously your teams and your opponents are big. And right after that, something that I'm really looking forward to already, Kevin, is the schedule release. I don't know why I get so excited about the schedule release, but I just am doing backflips because I know who the Chiefs are playing, but I still want to know what order, what day, you know, all those kind of things. So that's coming up right after the draft, but really looking forward to it this week. Thanks for letting me talk football again with you.
It is remarkable how the schedule release affects so many people and fans. They plan trips, they plan weddings, they plan all kinds of stuff around football schedules. We know this to be true. It's truly an American phenomenon, and we love that. Before we get to the Chiefs and the actual draft and needs and everything we're going to talk about there, I think one of the interesting things is most of our listeners are college and pro fans. They have a college team. And obviously with KU, K-State, Missouri all having players that could be drafted here this week, there's a lot of college fans for their team. I think beyond, you know, everybody wants their player to get drafted by the Chiefs if that's their pro team. But then beyond that, I think what college fans root for is a good fit. Don't they just hope their players are with the right team where they have the best opportunity?
Well, two things. I do agree with that, Kevin, because if you really care about the player, that's very important. Even back to our boy Patrick Mahomes, I think if he wouldn't have been a Kansas City Chief with Andy Reid, we wouldn't be saying he's the best player in the NFL right now. It's not just your talent, it's the right fit. And fans need to consider that. Sometimes when your guy gets drafted a little bit later, like you think, I'd love to see him as the early second round pick. I tell you what, it may be better to fall to the middle or latter part of the second round because they may play for a winning organization and be able to enjoy the riches of that as well as fit into a good system. So I do think that's very important, Kevin. But the other side for a fan is they still always have in the back of their mind recruiting. Now, maybe it's transfer portal recruiting or high school student recruiting. Junior college recruiting, it doesn't matter. I think a lot of people love to see their guys drafted early to be able to say, hey, look at our school. We can get first round picks. And when you look at that this year, our three local teams are all involved with some excitement. When we come to this draft and you think of it from the college football side, Kevin, even Kansas is playing at a higher level. Dominic Pooney, a tackle, is a likely draft choice from the offensive line. A guy that I thought was very exciting all year long for Kansas immediately. When I saw him, I said, man, that Austin Booker can rush the quarterback. He's kind of a unique player that may not be a down after down guy to dominate, but boy, he could rush the quarterback. Well, guess what? He's a Minnesota transfer, got to Kansas, and now we're looking at him in the NFL draft. So KU comes involved. K-State has Cooper Beebe sitting right there as a first-team All-American, might be a first-round draft choice. Ben Sennett at the tight end position could be a really good tight end. Again, Chiefs fans are saying, why not Ben Sennett to the Chiefs? And then Missouri, they've got a ton of defensive players that could be a part of the draft. Don't forget Cody Schrader, leading rusher in the SEC. Think about his story, Kevin, and how far he's come. He's going to be drafted. But you look at a guy like Darius Robinson, you dream of him being a Chief, possibly maybe even a first-round pick, and a couple of cornerbacks that can get it done. Mizzou may have a couple of first-round picks. K-State may have one. So locally, for these three teams, it's very exciting. I want to throw something out to Kevin, the listeners. There's a team that's caught my eye that you may not follow or you may not care a lot about, but they really showed up at the end of the last year, and that's the Washington Huskies. I don't get a chance to talk about Washington that much. It's hard to catch all their games in the Pac-12, as you know, and all the stuff that's going on out there. And we basically disrespected the Pac-12 for, what, 5 years solidly, but they're not a part of the college football playoff. Their teams aren't dominant. I just want to point out if there's a team's name, a college team's name that comes up, because you're going to hear the Ohio States and the Alabamas, right? And it's just going to seem like, yeah, whatever. We're used to that. Kevin, there are a lot of Washington football players that I am impressed with. And I'm not going to get into the details of everyone and break down the reasons why. But when I watched them make that run to the national championship game last year, Michael Penix Jr., a quarter, and three wide receivers to be drafted, offensive linemen, I was very impressed just generally with Washington. So if you hear a team pick somebody and they're from Washington, watch closely. Watch the tape. You might be seeing a guy who can get some work done in the NFL. And that's not a name we normally have at the top of our list when we're getting ready for the draft.
All right. So if the Chiefs draft somebody from Washington, thumbs up from Stan Weber. I think you heard it right there. Stan, we spent many years on radio, and I would say every year the Chiefs don't score enough points. They don't really have a quarterback. They don't have a wide receiver. They don't have this. They don't have that. And I said, they're going to make me mad because they're going to draft an offensive lineman, and you just shouldn't do that in the first round. I've never thought you really should do that in the first round, but the Chiefs kind of don't like doing that. And I think what we're seeing now, they're really kind of rewriting the book. They're winning with a bunch of young, cheap players that they get in the middle and late in the draft. So they've figured that out, and they've won three trophies, which gives them tremendous flexibility to trade up or trade down if they want. So Brett Veach was asked about that this week. He says, is there a scenario where, because Veach has said there's only about 15 first-round picks in this draft, the way he's got them on his board. I think he said 16 to 18. There are not 32 first-rounders in his mind. There's 16 or 18. So they asked him, is there a scenario where you move up? And he goes, oh, yeah. And he started grinning like he's thought it through. He goes, now I'd have to get the owner's approval on that. Is there a chance, because I don't think Travis Kelce is going to play that much longer, is there any chance of some blockbuster and they're moving up to get Brock Bowers to play tight end?
There is a chance. Another thing that needs to be said about your statement, Kevin, is the Chiefs will be willing to move up into the draft. Very aggressive. We've seen that, right? But teams are becoming a little more concerned about making that trade, Kevin.
I know, right? Yeah.
Just if he's calling you, Kevin, and you're one of the other 31 teams, you're kind of saying, I don't want to be on the other end of this trade.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have to get over that next. The Chiefs are so dominant and so good at picking guys out and figuring out who can be a match for them. Did you think that Rashee Rice, a guy from SMU, was right at the tip of your tongue, Kevin, at this point last year?
No.
I know if you and I spoke, I don't remember. There's no way I said, oh, Rashee Rice, he's a guy who could really get it done fitting in the Chiefs system. No, there's no way I would do that. Or Pacheco at running back, you know, a legitimate starter, 1,000-yard back. No, I can't pick these guys out like the Chiefs can. But it does make the other teams in the NFL a little nervous when they're talking about getting trades. And in somewhat of a challenge, you got to probably AFC teams don't really want to help the Chiefs out because they know they're so good at this. Now, division rivals definitely don't want to trade with you. That's kind of true of everybody, okay? That rarely happens. But now the whole AFC is kind of trying to think, should I trade with the Chiefs and help them build for the future? As we know, Patrick Mahomes can be around, but there'll be a day that Travis Kelce's not. And a lot of these players that you think about now as Chiefs Super Bowl winners won't be playing 6-7 years from now when Patrick Mahomes is still trying to win championships. So it's going to be harder to help. But one of the nice things about that is right before the Chiefs, I think there's 6 or 7 teams picking before the Chiefs, Kevin, that are from the NFC. There's like a little bunch of NFC teams. So that gives the Chiefs a little bit of flexibility. I do think that they're going to be looking for those opportunities. And one of the things that really helps the Chiefs, Kevin, is when you mentioned that Brett Veach talked about 15, 16, 18 really first-round picks in a Chiefs mind, the reason why there are 32 picks and you're wondering, how can that possibly be? The quarterbacks are being overdrafted, Kevin. The quarterbacks are being smashed up to the top, and these guys likely aren't worthy of being first-round picks. This is great news for the Chiefs. As other teams go ahead and pick these guys in the top 5 or top 10 when they shouldn't be there, and most of them end up playing poorly. Okay, C.J. Stroud last year for Houston lit it up. If there's a C.J. Stroud in this group, then whoa, watch out. But likely, they're just going to fade into the woodwork and not be big killers. And because they're drafted, it pushes back the other legitimate first-round picks from the other positions so that the Chiefs get a look at a higher-level player than they possibly could, maybe by moving up only 5 spots. So it's very exciting for the Chiefs. This is laying out very well. The only challenge, if Brett Veach calls you, do you pick up the phone? There's going to be a number of people go, I think I'm going to go to the bathroom right now.
Yeah.
I accidentally missed this call.
So philosophically, the reason I bring up Brock Bowers is philosophically, if Travis Kelce, if this is his last year, I don't think he's going to say, I don't think we know, but I think we can see he's transitioning in life. He's clearly moving on to other things. He's hosting a game show. He's making movies. He's got a $100 million podcast. He's flying around the world with his rock star girlfriend, all this other stuff. And he's talked about how painful it is, just everyday life from playing football all these years, that he's in pain, that it's difficult. He doesn't have the markings of a guy to me that's just going to keep going like five more years. I don't know that that's that important this year, and I'm not saying they're going to trade up and get Brock Bowers. They may know more than us, and Kelce may play three more years. But philosophically, for Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback, do you think it is more important for him to have a stud tight end than like the go-to wide receiver? Which one is more important now?
Well, that's a good question, and I really think that the answer lies in that he's indifferent as long as the words you used before the position is true. They got to be great players. He needs a great player somewhere. You know, could it be Tyreek Hill without Travis Kelce? Yes. They could have traded Travis Kelce if the world were different 4 years ago and 3 years ago and had Tyreek Hill, and he would be just fine. You know, having that superstar player that he has a connectivity with that you can't stop when it's a big play. Think about the first Super Bowl win in the 2019 season. Wasp, what did they throw? To Tyreek Hill, third and long. What would you be most worried about if you're a 49er? Watch out for Tyreek Hill. He's the only guy who could pick up a first down here on third and long, and yet he was wide open. Andy Reid drew it up. Patrick Mahomes executed it. So I think it's pretty indifferent. Just generally, for most quarterbacks, not the Patrick Mahomes of the world, I'll answer your question differently, Kevin. It is better to have a dominant tight end for a quarterback. And here's the reason why. If you just simply think of yourself as a quarterback right now, and I don't care if you're 5'8" and 134 pounds, okay? If you're just a good golfer, think of yourself as a quarterback for a second. You drop back or catch the snap in the shotgun, and you look up. There is no easier throw in the world than if the tight end happens to be 10 yards downfield, about 17 yards, less than 20 yards away from you, Kevin, in actual measurement, okay? And he's right there in front of you. How many times do you play catch with someone? I bet, Kevin, if you and I go out and say, hey, let's throw the football around, we probably get in a straight line and throw the ball back and forth, right? That is how easy it is. If your tight end can get open over the middle, you can see him. You can go your normal throwing motion. You don't have to move your feet real quick. And being big and strong and right there in the middle, all you have to do is miss the hands of the defensive line and miss one of the linebackers, and you can stick the ball on them very easily. There's not a lot of intricate challenge to it. It becomes the most simple thing. So why do you call that a safety blanket? Because it's an easy throw. For instance, people throw the ball out to the side to a running back, Kevin. That seems like an easy throw, right? Don't see something downfield, dump it off to a running back. You know how hard it is to throw the ball 25, 30 yards to the side to a running back? They're rarely standing there looking at you. They're usually on the move and at a weird angle. So you throw the ball accurately and he's behind the line to even start the play. You throw the ball accurately over the middle of that tight end, get 10-yard gain, just like candy from a baby. So tight ends normally are more important to a quarterback, but with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the level of development he's at right now, I think either one is fine. But you talk about a guy who I know, well, I shouldn't say it that way, Kevin. I would bet a lot of money that when the Chiefs talk about 16 to 18 number one picks, truly worthy of it, I would believe that Brock Bowers definitely fits the bill. This guy's elite, Kevin. He's not just one. You know, if you play at Ohio State or Georgia or Alabama, you might look good and everyone can brag you up, right? But no, this guy's legit. He is dominant, and unfortunately got injured at the end of last year. That would be the only mark against him. But I think he is a superstar, and he deserves all the love that anybody wants to give that guy.
Yeah, you almost can't do too much in my mind. Imagine if you got a player like that, and he was a 10 to 12 year stud tight end, best in the game, and finishes out Patrick Mahomes' career for him. I mean, to have Travis Kelce and then maybe another Hall of Fame tight end would be really something else. But everybody's locked in on wide receiver. Before we talk about what you think they'll do here, assess for me what they've done in the offseason and how that alters this draft, or does it? Chris Jones is here. Lajarius Sneed is gone. Hollywood Brown has been signed. Carson Wentz is here as a backup quarterback. So we got some movement. Some things have happened this offseason. They have needs. They've said it. We need offensive line help. I don't think they're going there in the first round. And they'd like to add a receiver because Rashee Rice now will likely have a multi-game suspension. How does all this fit into the draft, or do you just ignore that and say, we're going to build our team based on the roster and not worry about some of those other things?
Well, start at the back end, because you mentioned earlier in a podcast that you've seen so often that the needs for the Kansas City Chiefs, it seems like year after year, might be offensive line and wide receiver, okay? And Kevin, you said that accurately. I think that we could add a third category to that, a third position, and that would be the cornerback position. The Chiefs have been very good at drafting and developing cornerbacks, late-round guys, picking, going up and saying Trent McDuffie's elite was right on target. By the way, he came from Washington, Kevin. Kind of a little bit of a theme there. Trent McDuffie, but the fact that L'Jarius Sneed is not a Kansas City Chief right now, as a dominant cornerback that he played for Steve Spagnuolo's system, I think it just brings it more into a category that you want to look at, like what do they do at the cornerback position. So I think that's where you go. Otherwise, I think they got a lot of depth at the cornerback position, and Spagnuolo's really good at using his guys. Offensive line-wise, you know, we really have a question mark there, because one of the things that we look at the offensive line is how important are tackles. And most people think that tackles are more important than guards and centers. Chiefs are set right now with really good center and guard positions, maybe not for the long term. And yes, the Chiefs do draft today for needs that they have 2 and 3 years down the line. Don't get me wrong. They're very good at that. But one of the things that's happened when you talk about these moves is Donovan Smith, the starting tackle, Kevin, is out in free agency right now, but he hasn't been signed. So the thing that I don't know right now that's very important is, do the Chiefs have a conversation with him and his agent? And as it occurred really well, to say, stick with us here. I think you're going to be a Kansas City Chief here very soon, unless something crazy happens in the draft. If that's the case, then I don't think the offensive line should be as big a consideration. Because you can get back your guy you had from last year as a starter in free agency. So that'll be very interesting. And the Chiefs right now are getting a lot of that connectivity with free agents who want to be a part of this winning organization, Kevin. They've gone to that new elite level. Everybody, these players hang out a lot in the offseason. I mean, they do a lot more than they used to in the old days. They go to the same parties, the same golf tournaments, and there's a lot of talk about how great a coach Andy Reid is and Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs organization. And this is a place you want to be, not only to win championships, but to be around. And we're seeing that with the Chiefs being able to sign Mike Dana, for instance. And he just sat there in free agency for a while. And all of a sudden, signs with the Chiefs, happy to be back. I think the Chiefs should be very happy to have him back as well. So that's my question. Is that the same story about Donovan Smith? Is he just going to sign with the Chiefs here very, very soon? Now, wide receiver, Kevin, I think the Chiefs have a wide receiver need to think about in the draft, period. Because that was the weakness of the team generally throughout last season. And you really chronicled it well at mid-year, what you were seeing with Rashee Rice and saying, no, this guy's putting up numbers that Tyreek Hill didn't even have in his rookie season. We can continue to protect him of being a big-time player. And he's done that. He finished off the year with everybody having confidence that he's the number one receiver for the Chiefs and the number two go-to guy after Travis Kelce in the whole passing game. And Andy Reid talked about all of his development. Now you talk about his case. It's obviously headlines type things, because when you're messing with the court system, you don't know where exactly this is going to go. It appears some people got hurt when they had the wreck, and Rashee Rice will get a different penalty from the NFL that's different than the legal system. They can put a much bigger penalty together. They have the right to do that in the Players Association's contract. So I think that might be somewhere where people are saying, that may bring that wide receiver position into a higher priority. I don't go there, Kevin, okay? I think Rashee Rice not being here is obviously a big issue. Like, when will he have to sit out? I think he's going to miss some games. But I don't think the Chiefs, Kevin, are at any risk of trying to be the greatest team in the NFL week 1 through 4. Right. Okay, I don't. If Rashee Rice sits out 4 games or 8 games, you know what it's going to turn out being? This is what the Chiefs do. He's going to be fresh, excited, disciplined, and focused, and he'll probably play great football at the end of the year. Yeah. And the Chiefs will end up with a break that he didn't get himself all worn out at the beginning of the year. So I don't think it heightens the value of a wide receiver pick. I think it was already there. They did sign Hollywood Brown, so there's a pro that they brought in. But I do think the wide receiver position is of value, probably the most likely place they would go, Kevin. But I do think that the Chiefs have a capability right now to go get someone if they really believe in them. They can go out and get almost any position and be just fine.
Yeah. I think it's amazing that the Chiefs have become a team where wide receivers come for 1 year to get a big contract somewhere else. I just think it's incredible. And I think Hollywood Brown will probably be really, really good this year. Brett Veach also said something really interesting in his news conference about the middle of this draft. I'm going to read this quote for you, Stan. I'm sure you've seen this. Maybe our listeners have too. Veach said, quote, "One interesting thing I do find going through this draft is the NIL effect. What you're starting to see is these fourth and fifth round draft picks are staying in school. These drafts won't be as deep as they used to be. I think the drop-off from round three is a little more extreme, and the players are a little bit older." So that really does change things. There are players staying in college for money that could be fourth, fifth, and sixth round draft choices, and so they're not available here. This is where the Chiefs have gotten fat. I mean, they're really good at picking in those rounds, and I don't know whether he's trying to tell Chiefs fans right now this isn't going to be as easy now, but that's real, isn't it? There are guys staying in school for one more year.
Yeah, it is real, and it is very few opportunities that we have, Kevin, to bring up any positives about what's going on in the college football and big-time basketball world with the NIL and a transfer portal, because while the players can make some money, and most of us are not against that at all, it's hard to fall in love with your team and be excited for a guy. You know, you'd like to see someone play well and then be back the next year, where now they're moving so much. But he just brought up an interesting fact that there is going to be some stickiness to staying with your roster on the opposite end of this thing. Because they can make money, why go out and say, I'm going to be a fifth-round pick? And Kevin, if you were advising, if you had a son who was in this position, and you said, Stan, what do you think about this draft? I got a lot of these professionals, his agent and others are telling him about the draft, and they're saying he's in this round or that round. You know what I always do, Kevin, I've done? For many, many, many years and even decades, whatever I hear coming back from the player or his representatives, add two rounds onto it, okay? If they tell you, oh, he's going to be a third rounder, well, get ready to watch him get picked in the fifth round, Kevin, because there's just a level of optimism, like the spring training in baseball. Like, we're going to win the pennant this year. So these guys who are in the latter, middle to latter part of the draft and being told that, they can say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to settle for that. Here's my option. I can go back to my school, which I love, finish off my academic career. Yes, these kids do care about that part of it. Play and get paid. And you know what? I'm going to turn myself into a better player. I am going to advance my position so that I become a second round pick instead of a fourth round pick. All that's in play, which I think is really good news for college. And we don't get often that viewpoint, right? No one's talking well, when you think about coaches and administrators of what's going on with employees possibly being designated, you know, players being designated as employees, NIL, amount of money going to the players, all these issues with transfer portal, unlimited transfers, transfer whenever you want to, all those kind of things. This is kind of the good news because you could see players stay with your club, stay with your school, both in basketball and football. Because they can get money. So it's bad news for the NFL here for a year or two, Kevin, until we get into a new cycle.
Right.
But I really think that's the one piece of good news for college athletics.
I think, and this is just my little world and planet that I live on, I think it should bring coaching salaries down. I mean, I'm looking at Dennis Gates going 0-19 at Missouri, and he is hauling in players at Mizzou right now for his basketball team, and it's all NIL money. It ain't Dennis Gates as a recruiter. It's not him as a head coach. They were 0-19. That's the kind of thing that used to get you fired, and you'd have a five-year hole in your program and just be dead for 5 years. No matter who came in, it would take forever to rebuild it. Missouri's loading up with basketball players because of NIL money. Do you think there's a point here where these ADs are going to say, well, we don't really need to pay the coach this much money. We're out here getting the players for him.
Well, that's going to be this economic model, it's going to be fun to watch because Kevin, nothing lasts forever. And I remember my youngest son, Landry, said something to me, Kevin, that your listeners will appreciate. As I go off to a personal note for a second, Kevin, can you venture over there with me
sure.
for a second?
Yes.
My son, Landry, said, you know what? Football hasn't been around forever. And you know what? Football hasn't been a big deal for that many years of the history of mankind. Aren't we lucky that we were alive when football was a big deal?
Yes.
I said, bang. The reason why I agreed with him is because I do feel very fortunate that football's a big deal, Kevin, and it has been my whole life. I smelled it. I saw it. Pete Rozelle became the commissioner of the National Football League, and they were outpacing baseball right and left and were exploding. But the reason why I point this out is I had a grandfather who was a lot older than me, so I only got to know him for, you know, 13 years or so before he passed away. But he thought a lot like me and you, Kevin, and sports fans. He loved it. But guess what? They sat on the edge of their seats for things like boxing. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. These things don't last forever. And the reason why I say that is the money that's being paid to these coaches and now athletic directors and the contracts they're getting and assistant coaches getting over $1 million a year, all those things are happening. And I'm not here to jump up and down and say, oh, this is the end. They're overpaying. I'm not saying that at all. I don't know when it's going to end. But sometimes, somewhere in the future, hopefully 100 and or 200 years from now, things, you know, the brakes are tapped. So I don't know when this is going to happen when people look at it differently. Right now, all we've seen is the fans have not reached their limit. The wealthy people that want to support right. have not reached their limit. I mean, when they said, hey, Amazon Prime, you're going to have to pay for Amazon Prime to get your games. We said, oh, I'm ordering Amazon Prime. They said, Peacock, if you want to watch a playoff game, we're ordering Peacock. Well, we just keep adding on and paying more. Or if you're at the university level, these people who love their sports and love their school are paying millions of dollars to prop up the construction of new facilities. And now they've been asked for NIL and coaching salaries. And so far, everyone's just stepping up. At what point will that model change, Kevin? I don't know. But I guarantee you this, it will at some point. And you bring up an interesting question. I do not have the answer at all when it will happen. When you start looking at your funds, will they start saying, I can't ask for another X number of millions of dollars from the TV networks or from my friends who help us here at the university? I don't know. When they really have a budget, when they really say, here's your $100 million, and you're not getting one penny more, you cannot ask one more alum, what will they do? And you would be a great guy to ask questions, to start saying, think outside the box. Because Kevin Kiesman was the first guy to say, why don't we go for two more? Why don't we go for two? And everyone looked at him with crossed eyes and said, come on, Kevin. So you'd be a great guy to ask these questions. I don't know when it'll change, but at some point, you're going to have to decide how you're going to allocate the funds. And that's probably the new age of the university athletic director, because the NCAA right now, right before our eyes, are changing the rules and allowing NIL to come more in-house. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And therefore, a guy who's an AD or a lady who's an AD is now going to say, Mr. Donor, you're going to give $5 million. I really appreciate it. You're going to get some nice tickets for that, suite or whatever, great parking. But where are you going to allocate the $5 million to, Kevin? Is it NIL? Is it coaching salaries? I don't know. But that's going to be a decision. It's going to be more and more businesslike for these ADs going into the future. And you bring up some great points.
Well, it's going to be a fun draft. I will thank that awesome quote from Landry providing that we are lucky to live in the time where we have football. It's an absolute opportunity for me to say we also are unlucky, Stan, and we are living in the time where there are income taxes, because we didn't always have income tax. We went 150 years in this country without income taxes, and now we live in the era where we have
them. I'm going to say that to Landry. I'm going to say Kevin brought up something else, because I stand by the football quote you gave me. Like, can you see a father-son moment better than that, Kevin? Like, I go,
fantastic.
Young man, you have grown up. You're saying some really profound things.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to have to go back to him now that he is a grown man and say, hey, have you heard about income taxes?
Yeah, we're a little unlucky. We're living in the era of income taxes. So.
They just continue to go up and up and sales taxes and all of that. But hey, I will not change it. I'm glad we live in the United States of America.
I am too. And I'm you know, sick over taxes a lot of times, and income taxes especially, because I don't think you should punish people for working, but whatever. But I'll take the taxes and football as opposed to no taxes and no football. So that's how much I love football. I guess that's kind of where I am. So that's
absolutely. And thanks for letting me talk about it here, Kevin. And congratulations on all your success. Keep up the great work. It's fun when I run into people and say, hey, I hear you on Kevin Kiesman's podcast. Happens a lot.
People ask me, when you're going to have Stan back on? I said, I'll have him on for the draft. We're going to get you on. We'll get you on early this year, man. They're going to be up and running here in a couple of months. You know they will. July's coming, and we'll have you back in, buddy. It is always great to chat with you. I really greatly appreciate it. And on behalf of all the listeners, they all want you to have a good summer. I know you're going to spend a lot of family time and things like that as well, because you do so much. You're such a busy guy with your profession and with your broadcasting. Good for you, but thank you for making time for us, buddy.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. And maybe you can have me back when we have the schedule release. I cannot wait for the NFL to give the schedule release.
Oh, we could do that. Yeah, we'll do that. That'll be next week, right?
I'm not sure the exact date. I just don't want to think too far ahead. I'm focused on the draft, and I don't want to get too excited, but I love the schedule release.
Yeah, it's always like the first week of May. So I'll give you a buzz, I promise.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
All right, Stan, take care. All right, he is Stan Weber, and he's just terrific. And there's your breakdown of the draft and a very interesting discussion about what happens in these mid-rounds with the Chiefs, because this is where they've gotten really good. And the Chiefs have done just great, I mean, great things in the middle of the draft. And Brett Veach saying, look, it's pretty thin out there in the fourth, fifth, sixth round now because of kids staying in school. Pretty interesting stuff. Stan Weber's appearance today brought to you by our friends at Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler, online at crosskitchenskc.com. North Kansas City Dental. Jessica was at North Kansas City Dental this week. She had a filling put in, enjoyed her treatment very much, got it done, and now she's feeling better. NKCDental.com, two locations, just across the river in the Northland, and Westwood on the west side of the plaza in Kansas, NKCDental.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Did you know they'll do all your sprinklers for you? You got a broken sprinkler head? You need your sprinklers blown out, turned on, readjusted, whatever it may be. Advantage Termite Pest Control does all that. It's really Advantage Services at this point because they do full lawn care and everything else. AdvantageTPC.com. They are just awesome. The draft begins on Thursday, and the Chiefs pick 32nd, and you've heard Brett Veach say it. There is not a first-round draft pick available there. It almost feels to me like they're going to trade down this time and maybe try to get more players. If he's not sure what's in the middle round, if he trades, let's say, from 32 to 42, okay, and then they've got 64 and could maybe add a third round pick or something by just moving down a few spots, he might have more of a sure thing knowing that he's going to get at least three quality players. He sounded just a little bit nervous that they're not going to get, that they're not going to feel great about the third player that they're going to draft because it starts to fall off, or fourth player. They've been so good at everybody making the team, being productive, sometimes becoming stars or starters from really odd positions, sixth round, seventh round, things like that. The Chiefs have been great at that. Sounds like it'll be more of a challenge this year. If they traded down, they might be able to add a second, third round pick in there for their first round pick and maybe be sure that they're getting enough good players in this draft. I don't know. It's just a hunch that I had when I heard. I speculate on these things, folks. I don't know anything on this one. I just heard him say it's going to get hard. The fourth, fifth, and sixth round is not going to have the talent that it used to have. I think they see the last round as kind of a crapshoot. If you find somebody, you found them. And you hope to maybe get a little bit lucky there. But we'll see if that's indeed what they try to do. If not, I mean, you know, a blockbuster trade up to 14 and getting a real stud would be awesome. A weapon for Mahomes doing that would be incredible. It'd be great to see. We'll all be tuned into the draft. I know this. When it's over, you won't hear me criticize what they did. It's just impossible. You can't. I mean, of all the things that we've ever had in sports in this town, but there's just one given. You do not criticize Brett Veach and Andy Reid and their draft picks. You just don't. They've won three Super Bowls. Are you kidding me? And they do it with, they got dudes out on the field that they picked in the sixth round running around out there. It's just nuts. They're just really good at this. And the rest of the league will look at the, I love it when the grades come out. You know, it'd be like Pete Prisco or somebody at CBS Sports will give the Chiefs a C+, and he'll say they did this, they missed on this player and did that. They're still talking about how the Chiefs missed on DK Metcalf years ago. I'm like, oh, really? They missed on one player. Oh, what a shame. They missed on one player we can point to. Yeah, you go give the Chiefs a C+ or a B grade in the draft, you're wrong. This will be an A draft based on where they're drafting. It will be an A draft because they really know what they're doing. Should be a lot of fun. He's Stan Weber, and it's awesome for him to join us right here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.